sisters from the basement.
Hi, this is Jessica Cameron, and you're listening to Monsters from the Basement.
Hello, everybody. This is James Downing back with another episode of Monsters from the Basement. On the phone with me right now, I have an actress from Los Angeles, California, Miss Jessica Cameron. How are you doing today, Jessica?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. Now, you're originally from Canada, am I correct?
Yes, I'm originally from Canada, born and raised north of Toronto, very cold, small town.
How long have you been in Los Angeles?
I'm actually a new Los Angeles export. I lived in Ohio for 6 years, and I just moved to LA 5 months ago. Well, I decided, I was like, oh, Ohio's still too cold. Time to get warmer.
How long have you wanted to be an actress? Was that something you grew up wanting to be?
You know, when I was a kid, I was really analytical, and I really did want to be an actress. But when I looked at all the actors at the time, it was Christina Ricci and Thora Birch, and a whole bunch of others. They all had perfect teeth, and I didn't. And at the time, I went to my parents and said, okay, I'd like to get my teeth fixed. And they were very supportive but realistic and said, okay, well, all of our kids need to have their teeth fixed, and yours are the best of the three. So it's probably never going to happen. So I kind of put it on the back, and I pursued other options. And then when I was in high school, it came up again. You have to take in Canada an elective of either drama or music. And because I'm not musically inclined, it's a drama. And the teacher and I didn't get along at all at first because he kept on wanting me to be a stupid freaking tree. That is not fun. That's stupid. There's no way I'm not doing this. And it wasn't until he assigned us, like, to create a monologue, at which point I did it of one of my favorite people in the world, Marilyn Monroe. And he was like, oh, my God, that was really good. Where did that come from? I was like, it's really simple. You're not asking me to be a stupid tree. So he tried to get me involved in the drama program, but I didn't like the students who were in drama. And I had decided I was going to be a fashion designer. So I actually ended up going to school for fashion design. And when I was in Toronto and waitressing, I got approached all the time by agents and managers who were like, you are an actor. I was like, no, I'm a fashion designer. And then when I got my first job out of school, they were like, you talk too fast. We need to fix this. And when I couldn't find a Seuss class, they had me take an acting class, and that's when the acting bug bit. So I just took every class I could for years while I worked a full-time job. And then I ended up getting laid off and pursuing acting full-time 2 years ago. And it's been amazing.
You've had parts in about 30 movies, haven't you?
Over 70 right now. Some of the independent projects. Some of those are web series. Mm-hmm. When you're doing independent films, depending on the people involved and the budgets, they may or may not get listed on IMDb.
So what was the first movie you appeared in?
The very first movie that I did was a film called The Dead Matter. It's a film directed by Ed Douglas, and it's with Robert Kurtzman, who was a hero of mine because I loved his movies back in the 90s called The Wishmaster. So I actually had a really, really small role. I was originally in the audition. They loved me, and they're like, you have, like, one of the lead roles. I was like, sweet deal, because it was, like, my first audition ever. And then they had to speak to their people in L.A., and they didn't want a no-name nobody to be the lead in this movie, so they recast it out of L.A., and then they gave me a much smaller role, which I was fine with. You know, I was new, whatever, it's okay. But it's funny because now when they're talking about the movie, people are like, oh, my gosh, what was it like to work with Jessica? And they're like, who figured that you would be the one that everyone wants to talk about, even though we gave you, like, a small role?
I know Ed Douglas, and I've interviewed him for the website before. And but, yeah, I'm familiar with that movie. That's a good film with got Tom Savini in it, too.
So I have, like, a very small role. I actually have several roles, because I had so much fun on set. I came back to be a zombie, but I'm, like, the female victim in the big scene with the two leads, Andrew Devoff and Jason Carter. And then I came back, and because I didn't die, they had to make me look totally different. So I came back, and they spent, like, 2 hours in makeup, and I was burn victim zombie. And it was so horrifying that when I was on set and walking around, people on, like, the set where there's, like, 50 zombies walking around, people would see me and be like, oh, my God, you're horrifying.
Well, that's a good thing when you're a zombie, I guess.
Yes, it was a lot of fun. And Ed is one of the greatest people I know. I can't wait to see what he does next. he's really fantastic. I actually was up with him in Toronto probably a year ago promoting the Dead Matter at a convention. I just forget which one, but it was one of the big ones in Toronto. Oh, I said, I'll have to check that out.
So after the Dead Matter, what was your next movie?
Well, next I signed on to be the star in a web series called Two Doors Down, which was originally going to be like a television series and a pilot, but it turned in over time a web series, as things in the independent world often do. So that one was totally different because it wasn't even horror, it's comedy. Family-friendly comedy, no less. And I got to play this like ditzy new-age hairstylist who's dating an older man who's got a kid with his ex-wife who lives two doors down from. So it was a lot of fun. It was really long. We shot over the summer, and because it's a small independent project in Columbus, Ohio at the time, we were shooting like evening and weekends. So I believe it was like 2 months over the summer that we were all kind of in every spare moment of our time dedicated to this web series. It was great to do a different genre.
What do you feel like has been your most difficult role that you've done so far?
You know what? The most difficult role probably, like difficult as far as, I haven't had any that have been, well, I guess I have. I mean, I did a short film called Goodnight Moon that was really physically intense because they had me like flipping people on my back, like men that were larger than me. And it's, again, like, it's, you know, it's independent film, so you're not necessarily getting proper training. So I've done that. I did film that I don't want to mention because, quite frankly, I did not get along well with the producer, and I don't want to give it press. And they've since, like, rechanged it. They'll never let it do anyways. But in another movie where they tried to say that they were going to give me stunt training, and the stunt training person would not show up. And when she didn't show up, she was on her phone. And then she showed me, like, for, like, 10 minutes, she showed me, like, a somersault and had me do it. And then when we got to set, she wanted me to do all these things that obviously we hadn't rehearsed. So we did the best that we could. So, I mean, that was, those ones are always, like, physically awkward whenever you're supposed to know something that you haven't been taught. But Camel Spiders is a film that I did by Jim Wynorski. And that one was just hard because we shot 27 pages of dialogue and action in a 17-hour shoot day. I know, so typically you shoot on a film set, depending on the budget, the resources that you have, the location, then your cast, you'll shoot from like 3 to 8 pages typically. Pretty common. 27, extreme. And we had like 4 or 5 different locations, which is also a lot for a single day. So it was good. So that one was probably hard just from the standpoint of just, you know, the actual act. And even, you know, you can't really memorize 27 pages of dialogue, so you're kind of like constantly like, okay, what are we shooting next? Memorize this as quick as you can. So, I mean, just the point for 17 hours straight and making sure that your performance doesn't suffer was really hard.
Now, I know you were in the film Postmortem America. Who else was in that film?
That film is awesome. They actually ended up breaking down his chapters. My chapter should be out in the next couple weeks. There's so many wonderful B talents in that film that I love. Jim O'Rear, who is phenomenal, I swear. He's somebody that was actually in The Dead Matter 2, and I didn't get to meet him on that set. Wonderful, wonderful actor. So talented. Monique Dupree, who's amazing, and I didn't get to meet her on that set, but I met her on another set as well. Lene Quigley, Melanie Rogel, there's so much talent. Larry Lafferty, so if you know B-movies, you'll recognize a lot of those names. And it was a great shoot. Cameron Scott was just such a wonderful, encouraging environment. You know, I have some really intense scenes with April Monique Burrell.
Yeah, Chainsaw Sally.
Love her. She's the nicest person, too, by the way. But she can come across so horrible on camera. Like, you swear she was, like, evil. There's no way that could be an act because it's so good. And she's actually the nicest person in the world. I actually had my car towed on before we started shooting, and we couldn't find it. Because we're like, what happened to my car? It was right here before we went for dinner.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it was because there was, like, a neighbor. We were hanging out at the director's house, and one of his neighbors, I guess, has, like, a feud with him. So as soon as he saw us leave, he called up the company and said, there's been this car sitting outside the house for months. Can you come and tow it, please? And I guess they came and knocked on a few doors, and everyone was like, we have no idea whose car it is. But nobody can flick the false story of it having sat there for months. So they towed it.
Well, that wasn't very nice.
Well, it was not. Well, it was like a moment of panic. And poor April, she looked at me. She's like, are you sure the car was here? And I yelled. I was like, yes, I'm acting sure. I know where I put my car. It was a panic. And in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, we're shooting 3 days. I have all my, you know, it's an independent film, which means you dress yourself. I have all of my wardrobe. I have my laptop. Like, my life is in this vehicle. And now we don't know where the vehicle is. And I assumed at first it had been stolen because I didn't know why it would ever possibly be towed.
You've done some modeling as well, right?
Yes. I do. I actually started doing modeling just to support the film because I do so much, you know, online press and magazines. And I have some wonderful support from, you know, Fangoria and Horror Hound and Gore Zone and all these wonderful publications. So I'm constantly in need of photos. So once I started doing it, photographers started to ask me more and more, and it just sort of led to another thing. And then my agent in Ohio actually booked me on some really great print shoots for, like, Microsoft and stuff. Microsoft is really boring, but they pay very well.
Oh, wow. Well, that's what matters, I guess.
Well, I mean, it's always a mix of the two, right? I mean, you have to follow your heart. You have to do things because you love them and you feel passionate about it. But at the same token, you have to pay your bills.
Between modeling and acting, do you prefer one over the other?
Oh, acting, for sure. I model more by force. I model, it's more just because I need new photos for acting purposes. I'm never, like, being like, I just want to do a photo shoot. That's not me. I actually feel, when I'm acting, you forget the camera's there. Ideally, you have people in the scene and the set, and everybody's on point. So you're just kind of living the life of the characters that you're portraying, which is very different than being in front of a camera and posing for it. So for me, I'm not comfortable in the latter at all. You know, I kind of still see myself as ideally, like, there was a whole chunk of my teenage years where I never wanted my photo taken. As we talked about, I didn't like my teeth. I would never smell in front of cameras. And I, like, would practice photography and stuff. And I would do it not only because I love the art of photography, but also just because when you're behind the camera, you can't be in front of it. So to this day, I'm not so comfortable in front of the camera. But it's a necessary evil that in order to do that, you have to have some photos.
Of all the films that you've done, do you have one that stands out in your mind as your favorite?
I have one, actually, a recent shoot of mine that kind of, I had a couple of shoots that were a little bit lackluster. One that will never see the light of day because, like, the director and the producer are bonkers. And it was kind of just, it really was. So I had a shoot actually a few months ago for a trailer for a film called Thrill Kill, which is going to be released soon. And we just had the most amazing on-set experience. It was so much fun, and it was just sort of everybody coming together to make this great kick-ass product. And I've seen the trailer. It's awesome, and I'm really excited to shoot the movie. So right now I'm kind of all about Thrill Kill because I think it's so fantastic. And it was so much fun. Like, it's what making a movie should be fun. It's not rocket science. We're not curing cancer. It should not be a bad experience, you know? So that one was one of my favorites of all time because it was just so much fun. But then there was, like, also I got to work with Tyler Mayer, who did Legend of the Grassmen. And his people, again, it was just everybody in it with a pure heart. You know, like, they're all here just trying, in small town in Ohio, trying to make a movie and putting their heart and soul. And that's really, for me, that's what it's all about. You know, put your heart and soul into it. You know, be smart, be strategic on the marketing and the business end of it, but do what you love.
Yeah, I was surprised when I first started going to horror conventions how many independent film producers are in, like, the Kentucky and Ohio area. And
there is. There's a really strong independent culture, but there's also, like, this whole sort of subculture by these people who will make, like, one bad B-movie and then call themselves, like, you know, a producer or a director or a scream queen, whatever you want, and they've made one movie. And they'll try to parlay years and years and years to get others to give them money or have faith. So you definitely have to keep a watchful eye out for that. Because for every good person, there's a shady person.
If there was any movie that you could have been in from the past, which one would that be?
Well, one of the characters I am sort of desperate to play in some capacity is Marilyn Monroe. Because I'm such a huge fan, and I feel like as of yet, there's yet to be a film that's really showcased and focused on, like, the Marilyn as her friends describe her. Not everything that I've seen is usually, like, a fan pictorial or, like, a media conglomerate. Like, the inner struggles that she faced being who she was and how she was viewed, I don't think has been captured on film. So I would love the opportunity to work on a project that showcased that, because I feel like it's something that's lacking. Now, I haven't seen My Week with Marilyn with Michelle Williams. I've heard very good things about it, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. I'm a big Marilyn Monroe fan, too, and I agree with you. There really hasn't been a movie about her. It's just been about everything she went.
Yep. Or like the common, like, people love to focus on, you know, the end tragedy or, like, the peak, and they don't show like that. I think she had this really intense struggle inside that people like to forget about and not focus on, and I think that there's a really great movie there waiting to be made. You've got this woman who I think was incredibly intelligent and far beyond her time, struggling to deal with being considered a sex symbol in a time where you either were attractive and dumb or ugly and smart, and trying to maneuver in very much Hollywood to this day is still a man's world. I can only imagine how much worse it was when she was here, and that inner conflict that she had. And, you know, growing up without a family and that need to sort of have a family of your own is something that I think is a horrible yet a beautiful expression, you know, and something that should be portrayed and shown. And there hasn't been a movie that's focused on that. They want to focus on her death. They want to focus on her glamorous life. But what happens when the door closes? Let's see. I want to see the Marilyn that very few people saw. Not what people thought was going on. I want to see, like, her honest to gosh, the struggling that she faced.
Other than Marilyn Monroe, do you have any other actors or actresses that might have influenced you or that you look up to?
There's so many. I'm constantly, like, seeing stuff and I'm like, oh, wow, I love that person or I'd love to work with them. As an actor, you're, like, forever barraged too with, like, comparison. So people love to compare you to, you know, like, if you're blonde, you're going to compare it to the blonde of the month. Even if you don't look alike, people will be like, oh, my gosh, you look like so-and-so. But anybody who had, like, a long-lasting career and one that spans the depth of, you know, character's role and genre, I have so much respect for. Obviously, you know, Meryl Streep comes to mind, Diane Keaton, all of those women, classic Goldie Hawn, particularly because she kind of superseded, like, the initial dumb blonde curse. Jamie Lee Curtis, awesome. Coming from a horror background myself, I have so much respect for Jamie Lee Curtis because she superseded it and didn't let herself get stereotyped. Odette Yasmin, same thing. You know, she was able to go from Cloverfield and a bunch of indie films to starring in You Again, which was a Disney film. So, really, the do their job, do it well, and then not let destroy them or categorize them. It's really easy to let either of those two options happen. So anytime I see an actor, he's like, no, we're not going to go down this road. I'm going to take control. I'm going to do this. I much respect.
Do you have any projects that you're currently working on?
I do. I've attached to 4 films next year, one of which I won't talk about yet because the ink is not dry on the paperwork, but it'll be my first film, hopefully, shot in Canada, knock on wood. And it's going to be a family-friendly film, which will be a very nice change. Another one that I start shooting in January with the lovely Debbie Penn. I don't know if you know her, but she's awesome. Somebody very worthy of a Scream Queen title. She's awesome. So she's doing this movie called American Girl that I have a small role in. And we're going to be shooting that in January. It's based on a true story about these 2 young girls that are murdered in school. So I play a really mean bitch of a girl. Great, because I get tired. I get, like, the nice girl and the wife and the loving girlfriend, like, a lot. So to play the bitchy girl is awesome. And then after that, we've got on the docket Shadow, which we should be shooting end of the year, hopefully. It's a wonderful horror, epic film. Think a current version of, like, a Freddy or a Jason, but with a girl as your female lead. It's going to be horrifying and brilliant. And then we have Where Were You in the Life When It in Rio, which is a film that I'm going to shoot in Brazil. So I'm very excited. It's going to be my very first film that I get to go to Rio for. I've always wanted to travel to Brazil. It's a place I've been beautiful. So, and it's a wonderful ghost story that takes you on all these, like, nooks and crevices right from, like, you find out what happened, and it tells you the story, and it goes into the prosecution of this girl's trial, and it does so seamlessly. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then I'm currently in talks for a few other projects, so definitely stay tuned because there's going to be more to come.
Well, good. You're going to be a busy girl in 2012, huh?
Absolutely. Well, I like to keep busy. And a busy actress is a happy actress.
10 years from now, where would you like to see yourself?
I still want to be working. I've always said from day one, I don't see success in this business as a dollar figure. If you can pay your bills and continue to do projects that you feel passionately about, you're blessed. So 10 years from now, I hope that I would love to have some kind of award on my statue on my mantle that's of some more importance than some of the ones I've won previously. And I would love to still be working on things that are interesting, fascinating, and that people want to watch. You know, some roles that I can be eager and excited about as I am today talking to you. I want to be that excited 10 years from now, which in a job, people tend to get less excited over time. I want to be more excited 10 years from now than I am today.
As you look back on your career so far, what are you most thankful for?
Honestly, I'm just thankful that people keep giving me the opportunities. You know, it's a wonderful thing. Keep in mind, you know, every job is its own process, its own set of rules, its own job. You know, it's like most people go to a day job and they'll be at that job for years. I'm at that job for sometimes days, sometimes weeks, and sometimes a couple months. So the fact that I'm getting all of these jobs is wonderful. And the fact that I'm continuing to get approached is great. So I'm just thankful that people are coming after me and giving me a shot. And I hope that they continue to do so.
I really appreciate you taking some time out from your day talking with me.
My absolute pleasure.
I'd like to mention that you're the babe from the basement on Monsters from the Basement for January, and appreciate you participating in that.
My absolute pleasure.
Like I said, I appreciate you talking to me, and I wish you the best of success in 2012.
No problem. You have a wonderful week. Go ahead.